I'd like to call this meeting in order, please. Ray, you want to lead the Pledge of Allegiance tonight?
Sure.
Please join us.
Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Carol, can you call the roll, please?
President Simon?
Here.
Vice President Graves?
Here.
Director Pease?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
Thank you. This brings us to public comment. During the public comment, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time that item is before the board's consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There'll be no dialogue between the board and the commenter, and any clarifying questions will go through the chair. Is there any public comment? Ex-Director Tatrol. Ex-Presidente.
Once a president, always a president.
Absolutely. Is that on?
Good afternoon, good evening. All I have to say is this. I know that the board is going to come up with who they think is the best candidate for this position. My only hope is that it stays on the board and you guys can come together as a board and pick someone that you all agree on and it doesn't go to the county. That's my wish. So I hope that works out. If it doesn't, well, it doesn't, but that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks.
Is there any other public comment? Come on up.
Good evening. My name is Erica Rodriguez, and actually I am the Contra Costa County Field Representative for Assemblymember Jim Frazier. And I am here today just to let you know that we're glad to be serving the community of Discovery Bay, and that if citizens ever need assistance from our office, we hope that they please call us at 925-778-5790. We also wanted to invite the residents of Discovery Bay to a consumer protection senior scam stopper event we're having in Brentwood this coming Thursday. It is from 10:30 to noon at the Brentwood Senior Center at 193 Griffith Lane. There will be 5 state agencies there, the Bureau of Automotive Repair, the Department of Consumer Affairs, the Department of Insurance, and the Contractor State License Board, letting people know what they can do to protect themselves against fraud. So we hope that everyone will attend, and again, we're looking forward to the board's deliberation this evening. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? That will close public comment. Presentations? Do we have any presentations tonight?
None this evening.
Okay. We're going to move the board vacancy appointment, which would be district legal. We're going to move that up at this time. Council?
Sure.
So tonight you have before you a vacancy, and it's your opportunity to do one of two things. You can appoint from the applications that you have received or the interested parties that you have received, or you can call an election. It should be noted that you have a certain time frame to complete those obligations. If you do not either call an election or appoint by August 6th is the date, this can be turned over to the Board of Supervisors. You have a total of 90 days in which to act, to either call an election and or appoint. If you fail to do so, the Board of Supervisors can appoint. They don't have to, but they can appoint. If the Board of Supervisors, however, fails to appoint and fill the vacancy, then the district, according to law, shall, and it's not a question, shall call an election. And the election then will fill that vacancy. So tonight, I believe you have several candidates before you. I think there's some interest in hearing a brief statement from the candidates and hopefully take action on the candidates that are before you. Are there any questions with the process and the procedure that you need to follow?
No, pretty clear.
If none, then I'll turn it back to you for
Okay, I think what we're going to do is we're going to call each candidate. First of all, I want to thank all of you who have thrown your hat in the ring. It was very civic of you, and hopefully we're able to pick one. I'm going to call each candidate up and have you take no more than 2 minutes, please, and at the podium, tell us about yourself, why you want to be on the board, what your qualifications are, what you think your strong points are. At the end of your 2 minutes, we'll allow the board to ask you questions, and at the end of the three presentations, we'll start the nomination process. So I did this at random. I'm going to ask Michael Gaffney to come up, if you would. Thank you. Tell us about yourself.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to wear a tie or not.
No, fair. This is tuxedo night.
Okay, and I believe that, well, I wasn't sure which way we went. So. I tried to summarize in the letter. I believe that you have that. Okay, basically, I've not been active in the community. I've been active in other situations with that. I've acted on behalf of the public trust in various states where I was president and CEO of different companies. I've been a resident of Discovery Bay since 1998 is when we actually purchased the property. My wife and I moved here from Mount Spain. My kids are grown, they've gone to college. In business, I summarized a lot of activities I was involved in. I worked on behalf of diverse groups of people that were looking to try and to maximize what public funds were available to be able to do various public projects and various things that I was involved in. And some of it was for nonprofits and some of it was for commercial businesses that were in the area. I've worked on capital projects, I've created the budgets, I've had to make the proposals, I've had to do the to go through and do the due diligence to make sure that the projects would have a positive long-term effect and that we'd be able to pay for things as we go along. This community is growing rapidly. We've been a benefactor of the growth and the excellent results up to this point in time. I'd like to be able to become a member and help sustain that in the future. I feel that my position would be, I don't have set agenda. My main role will be, and this has been in my history of various businesses that I'm involved in, and in the community, is that I'd work to build a consensus. I'm a builder. I'm not a person that's looking just I'm semi-retired now, so there isn't anything I need to put on my resume to make things go any further. We're committed to this community. My wife and I decided we're going to stay here. Our kids are all grown now. Our son lives in Southern California. Our daughter's still back in Pennsylvania. They're married. My wife and I successfully raised them. I've been married for 41 years. And that's a basic background. And feel free to ask me any questions you want.
Question, Chris?
I don't have any questions. I was just wondering about the nonprofits. You said you did some due diligence. What kind of due diligence experience you have?
Well, basically, like Make-A-Wish Foundation, for example, would be a good example. There's a lot of different organizations that are similar to Make-A-Wish that are the same type of a dream for a child as a last wish. And part of the issue is that a lot of the organizations, some are local, some are national, they do not have good supervision over the funding that they collected. They tax approved, they granted the wishes, and the money was spent through there. So basically, working in that was to bring credibility to the organizations. I worked with the judges that run that were placed on this to try and ensure that we would have credibility back to the community and back to the people who were giving the funds.
Thank you.
Nope.
Yeah, it appears that you're a substitute teacher at some of the schools. What kind of got you into that mode a little bit?
Well, one of my friends, he knew that I retired earlier than really I had anticipated. I had a lot of time on my hands. I was looking for something to do. He said that they had a need in the community because they were having trouble getting substitutes on a regular basis. And I could be available on an on-call basis. I live in the community. So I never taught my life. My wife was a school teacher, so both my wife and myself volunteered. My wife did not like substituting because she had trouble adjusting to the fact that you're just kind of like babysitting for the day. So she was a little more frustrated because she couldn't see the results, and I was more used to working in situations where there is a bit of chaos and a basic lack of respect sometimes about things, but I could work through that. And I actually enjoyed doing that. And it gave me an opportunity to see more of the community. I did not have, my kids did not go to school in California. They were raised in New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Pennsylvania. And I was involved with activities back there. When we came here, they were all, my daughter had already graduated undergraduate, she was in graduate school. And our son was finishing up at the University of Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania. They completed their educations. And the only thing I'd add on that, the one thing I would say, because I am somewhat proud of this, is that like we pay as we go, okay? So we don't have any debt. And that's what I do believe in, is that I did that. We didn't try and do anything. We controlled our budget as my wife and I for the last 41 years. And despite the economy and everything like that, we've been able to get ourselves through and do well. We live a decent life. And we've left a good life and legacy through both of our kids and their families that they're raising right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Michael, let me ask you a question. You came to Discovery Bay in 97?
I came to California in 1997. I lived in San Ramon for a little over a year.
And so you're 90. So you came probably at the start of the escalation of real estate and market
values. The values were just starting to go up. I got in underneath. It was still a little depressed, but it was starting to come up.
One of the things that comes up for consideration to this board, even though we don't have jurisdiction over it, is growth in Discovery Bank. What's your feeling on growth in Discovery Bank, both managed and unmanaged?
I think you have a unique community here, and I'd like to be able to, I think it needs to be planned out as you move forward. I think what's unique about it is it was basically a secondary home for a lot of people. Unless you're in the construction business or you were in law enforcement or whatever, you needed to get, this is your place to get away. It is a community that, since I've been here, has changed, is going through the process of change, and that's going to continue. And do I want to see more commercial things going on? I don't know. I'd have to really learn more, a little bit more about what would be on the table. I think it'd be good at evaluating it would be the type of, whether it's a business expansion or it's additional residential expansion, I think it should be done from the standpoint of there should be a long-term plan of what we want to bring out of this community. I'm not sure if there is one or not. I personally don't know that. That's something that I would like to be able to learn and move through on that and direct your things. I've lived in communities that way overextended themselves. They lost their identity as they tried to expand too rapidly. And I'd like to be able to contribute to the point of the building to work with, to try and get the best ideas and move those best ideas forward. That would be my role that I see for myself.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for being here. Thank you so much. Marianne, is it Wiesen or Wiesen?
Wiesen.
Oh, come on up.
He's a hard act to follow. Well, I know most of you because I do serve on the community center committee. I retired here 3.5 years ago. I was a nursing home administrator for 32 years in 5 states. And generally, my phone would ring and they'd say, we've got problems. We've got budget problems, we've got staffing problems, we've got union problems, and I would go and help correct those situations. 8 of those years were spent in county government. So in county government, I worked very closely with the state's attorney, with the housing commission, I was on the housing commission, and various other parts of the county. With the county nursing homes, I was responsible for doing the budget myself. And the normal budget in most nursing homes is $6 to $8 million. So you have your budget, you've got your people that you have to take care of, families. And believe me, when you're taking care of someone's loved ones, that's their most priceless gift. So you know, you really have to be very good with your people skills when you're working with the elderly and their families. Union negotiations, fun part of the job, but very necessary, at least in the county nursing homes. State and federal regulations in nursing homes, regulations are next to nuclear energy, second. So we fall under a lot of scrutiny, and rightfully so. I've also served on many boards in many states because I'm really a humanitarian. I'm a Paul Harris Rotarian. I've written grants. One of my grants was for gardens. That was for $50,000, and that was to develop gardens for the elderly, to be able to walk and have sensory stimulation. And the second one was the first time in the state of Illinois I wrote and received a $200,000 grant that was for the development of a bariatric unit. You know, many of us are getting bigger, and nursing homes are really not at that state where they could meet the heavier needs to protect the patient and the employee. That's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Let me start at this end this time. Do you have any questions?
How about your, a little bit about your family? I don't know you.
I live with my two chihuahuas.
All right.
I have five children. I have a son in San Francisco. There's a periodontist. He's the one that wanted mom out here. I have a daughter who's completing her master's at Seattle University, and she will be working in human rights. Her passion is helping the underdog. I have a son in Colorado, who he and his wife are pharmacists. I have a son in New York, who is a teacher. And I have a son in Washington. His wife is a surgeon, and he is a graduate of the Naval Academy. He served three times out in the Gulf, and he is a nuclear engineer. That's my family.
Sounds like
everywhere.
Sounds like you've got the United States covered.
And I'm very proud of every one of them.
Anything else? Thank you.
Kevin? I actually know Mary Ann, but we're on the committee together, so I don't have a question.
Chris, anything?
Mary Ann, what do you think the biggest challenge for our community center is?
I think our biggest challenge for the community center, and you know I'm very much wanting to get a lot of programs starting, and thankfully I have I've built a lot of contacts in the time I'm here to bring services like you were talking about to the senior center here in the community center here in Discovery Bay. There's so many opportunities to bring programs here that are free that would be so valuable to everybody. I spoke with Liz from the library. They would love to bring a magician out here to work with the kids. So my wish is to get the community center moving. I kind of feel like we're standing still. But again, I'm kind of like a silent Rotarian. I believe in listening and going along with what the group consensus is, and not, you know, stomping my feet and saying I have to have my way. But that's my goal, to see us really start having some programs starting so we at least have some visibility and some action going on.
Mary, the question that I asked Michael, I just want to change a little bit to expand on it. Infrastructure is a huge thing here in Discovery Bay. We have a lack of police, we have a lack of fire, we have a lack of roads, we have pretty much a lack of everything in public services. And we have growth coming. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I think it gives us a great base. You know, we've got lots of opportunities, lots of growth, lots to do. So it's really exciting to be on the ground floor and see something flourish and make it happen.
Are you in favor of growth without infrastructure?
No.
That's part of my question. Thank you.
That's very direct.
That's what I want to know.
That's the right answer. Thank you, Mary.
Brian Enbaum.
The two nice people ahead of me are certainly very qualified. I feel unqualified actually standing here after listening to both Michael and Daniel. I'm selling my business. I'm a day away from signing the sale. So I'm a day away from unemployment. And at 66 years of age, I'm looking forward to that. But I've never done anything in the public service sector at all. I've been in private clubs, all kinds of organizations, but nothing for the public. And I just wanted to give something back to the community. I've run a small business. It was a family business, 68 years. I've run it since 1969. We've gone from 13 people to 39 people and back to 15 people. So we watch the economy go. It's a distribution business. I've gone through all the trials and tribulations of owning a company and all the heartache that goes along with owning a company. And the good times as well as the bad. So I've seen all that. It's critical to keep a hand on the dollar. It's critical It's critical to look forward and see where you can go and understand what opportunities are coming your way. And outside of that, I think I'm open-minded and I'm relatively conservative. I don't know if that matters, but I think those are my strengths. My kids are grown and they live in Portland and I have a grandson and I look forward to seeing them. That's pretty much it.
Chris?
What do you think the community of Discovery Bay, what do you think the biggest challenge is over the next 5 years in Discovery Bay?
Money. Money for infrastructure. I mean, you've got to battle with everybody to get money. And it takes money to do what you guys want to do. So as far as growth goes, if that's what you mean as well, I think you're going to be pretty limited on growth because of just the confines of Discovery Bay, unless you start taking a little more agricultural land, which I don't think you'll do. Because of what the community is, being in water and so forth. But I think you need more infrastructure. I was sorry to see the second firehouse come. That was a mistake.
No questions.
Nope. What kind of things other than public service would you be kind of doing in your now that you're looking forward to retirement? Or have you gotten that far?
What do? I fly an airplane. I own an airplane. I play golf. Bill knows that. Fishing and travel. That's it. But as I said, I've never given anything back to the community. And I would like to have that opportunity. But I'm certainly, I don't believe, as far as the public sector is concerned, as qualified as the two people that I follow. So.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. If there are any other questions for the respective candidates, the audience, for the board, I'm going to open this up to nomination. Are there any nominations?
Yeah, I would nominate Marion. Forgive me for not having your Weason for the office for the open seat that's available on the board.
I'll second that.
You already second that.
All right.
Yeah. I think Mary Ann is a very qualified individual. I think she's has served the community center committee well from what I've heard. However, I think that the board needs someone with a little bit more business background. Mary Ann served quite well in kind of the public sector, if you will, and I think this board could use some private sector analysis on some of the things that we're doing. So unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to support Mary Ann.
Oh, we did the same thing last time. We nominated the vote. Oh, actually, no, we didn't. We did take the vote.
Why don't you give me just a second? Let me figure this out.
That's where we started the last time. We stopped. We need a vote on the person who was nominated.
It's not to discuss the candidate.
Why can't we make a public statement as far as where you stand? And anything
why
about
why don't we hold discussion just for a moment?
That'd be good.
Your motion would be to actually, you've got three candidates before you, so if there's a motion on the table, it would be a motion to appoint a particular member. You would need the second, and then you would take the vote.
Where would discussion come in?
You would take a motion, second, any further discussion. If there's any further discussion, you'd have that, and then you'd call for the question.
Okay. So we have the motion, we have the second. Is there any discussion for the board?
Well, other than wanting to let the nominated candidate know that, with all due respect, I could not support you because of the fact I feel that we need a little more business experience on the board, and I think that your contribution to the community center committee is would continue and be excellent for the community.
Any comments from the?
I would just point out to the board that Mary Ann got up here and told us that she was, that the budget she was dealing with was a $6 to $8 million budget. She did it on a regular basis. She was a troubleshooter for it. And in fact, that coincidentally is about the budget we deal with here. So I don't know that that I would agree that she doesn't have business experience. I didn't hear that in the comments. And I just want to make that comment that apparently, I mean, what I heard was that there's, in fact, she is very familiar with budgets, controlling budgets, working with budgets, negotiating in very difficult situations with regards to unions, which are, can be the most difficult to negotiate with. And I think that that would give her tremendous experience with regards to what we do here, besides having an insight into how the public government system works.
Chris, anything?
No, I think that's pretty well said.
Any other comment? I'll call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
3, aye, 1 opposed.
Motion carries.
Passed.
I'd like to thank, that's your appointment.
That's your appointment. I'd like to thank Brian. I'd like to thank Michael. I was on the fence myself until we got to the votes. I heard the 3 candidates speak. And I appreciate you coming forward, both of you. And I'd like to say thank you to the town of Discovery Bay. Mary Ann, congratulations.
And likewise, I would like to thank all the candidates for coming forward. I was involved in a similar situation about 4 years ago, and it's not an easy thing to do. You don't know what's going to happen, and I appreciate you taking the time, and I appreciate your civic-mindedness and wanting to serve. There are other opportunities to serve different committees that we have here in the town, and I would encourage you to at least consider some of those, because we're looking for people who are civic-minded and care about their community, and you folks obviously do, so thank you for coming.
Rick, she gets sworn in right now?
Yes, she does.
So we'll take a pause for the meeting and we'll swear in. Or do you leave it?
Or you can swear, you should swear her in public.
Yeah,
please do. Or you can raise your right hand, you think you can
sure,
follow
can
that instruction,
that
is that's a little too lazy.
Go ahead.
Right there. Stand right here and look at me. There you go.
Okay, photo op. Everybody got this. We don't want pictures of Rick.
No, we have enough of those.
I state your name.
Mary Ann Weir.
You solemnly swear.
I solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance.
And allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental.
Without any mental reservation.
Reservation
or purpose
or
of evasion. And that I will well.
And that I will well.
And faithfully discharge.
And faithfully discharge.
The duties about which I'm about to enter.
The duties that I'm about to enter.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Where do I sign?
Bad news, look where you're sitting, right next to me.
You can notarize it later.
That's not good?
No.
Why? You get her to sign it later.
Okay.
You can throw that for me later.
Okay. All right, let's put it up for you.
Okay,
your first official photo at the table. Okay, so we'll now go to Rick Batch.
Okay. You're so popular tonight.
Are you back?
I am back.
Let's go to President's Report and Director's Comments. We'll start at this end. Chris, Anna?
Nothing new to report.
Kevin?
I will an update on the. I'll try to keep this brief because it's going long. The fire went to the fire committee meeting on Monday, and they're approving. They approved the contract with the fire. Ray, thanks for coming. It's good seeing you. Gabrielle, good to see you, Gabrielle. The biggest deal is the revised vision of the auto aid we have with Confire. They're coming over here about 40% more than we're going over there because we're shorthanded on our fire care, and they're not going to continue to do that. They're in a budget crunch, probably bigger than the one that we're in, and we're going to have to do something as a district to generate revenue. We did get fortunately a grant that's just a band-aid. It's only good for 2 years, but the district and the community, and I think we need to start educating our constituents. Something's going to have to happen for us to get the coverage we need from the district, because Confire is going to stop showing up with they're already modifying their auto aid from 4 engines to 2 engines, so it's going to effectively cut back. For example, the fire we had on Edgeview, 3 of those engines came from Confire, so that would be the big item. It was on the agenda, and I just want to make the board aware of the fact that it may affect the constituents of Discovery Bay with regards to reliable fire coverage.
Bill,
nothing to report this time.
I have nothing. Let's go to the consent calendar. Can I get a motion, please?
Move consent calendar approved.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion for the consent calendar? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. New business. Rick?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The item before you is consideration and approval and adoption of a resolution revising our park rules and regulations and fees for the town, for our facilities, our parks and recreation facilities. This came about as a result of the acquisition of the community center, and Fair and Prez is going to give the report.
Good evening and congratulations, Mary Ann.
Thank you.
The forms before you tonight are exactly as Rick stated. They are just small revisions to the currently adopted rules and regulations and reservation forms that we currently have adopted. There are changes on the park reservation fee forms to include the at the community center, the barbecue area and the tennis courts, the pickleball courts at Cornell Park, even though that conversion is not done yet, it will be in the next couple weeks or by next week, and the bocce courts at Cornell. That also switches over to the fee schedule where all of those have been added into the reservation fees. And then the big changes on the park rules and reservations is Section 7 on the swimming pool. Actually, it looks like some of this numbering is wrong here, so that I would suggest that those would be corrected, or we could correct the numbering on this. But the swimming pool section within the rules is the only thing that's been added there. That's probably the biggest point of discussion tonight.
I have a question.
Sure.
Just because I didn't know, I didn't realize that we had already set up hourly rates or half-day rates, et cetera, for the use of the different fields, you know, the picnic area or the horseshoe pits and things of that nature. How do we, if someone just goes over and starts using it?
It's open use to anybody, so you can. It's open to the public. It's free to use anytime you want. However, if you want to have a party and you want to ensure that it's reserved, then you pay a fee and we'll put signs up to clean the area. We check it after you're done.
Okay, so this is for reservation.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Chris?
No, it looks pretty straightforward.
Okay. And you need from us to approve, let's see, approve adopt
adoption.
I need a motion for resolution.
Are there
resolution 2013-13?
Pardon me?
You would need a motion to approve resolution 2013-13.
I'll turn to you out the public first. Is there any public comment?
There's no public.
Okay, one of you needs to comment. Okay, let me call for the motion.
Motion to accept staff recommendation.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Item two, community movie nights.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I think Amanda's handing something out there, and she does that. The Delta Sun-Times has been working with staff for a period about 4 to 6 weeks now on the on putting together a community movie night at the community center. Outside on the lawn area behind over by where the barbecues are. Beginning this Friday, July 19th, and running through September the 6th. They are 8 family movie nights. No movie shall be rated above PG. And that the movies, there's a whole list of attachments. There's a list of conditions on the attachment, I should say, that are there as well. The list of movies is on the agenda report, starting out with Jumanji this week, and they're all family-oriented movies. Is a method for the Delta Sun-Times to recoup some of their expenses, which is approximately $3,200 for putting the movie nights on. They did sell some local advertising on screen advertising, as well as sponsorships with Pyra Pizza and Lumpy's Diner over in Brentwood to be able to sell food on site. Both those vendors have food permits that are through the county. They were recently part of the Corn Fest event that took place in Brentwood this past weekend, so their permits are current and up to date as well. Staff is recommending that the cost to provide the event would be reimbursed any out-of-pocket expenses, as well as a $100 facility use fee. There would be some very minimal electrical use that would come that would be absorbed as part of the facility use fee costs. Some of the conditions that are on there is that there needs to be a $100 refundable deposit regarding cleanup. That would be a revolving, if you will, week to week ongoing. So if it works out well the first week, it will continue on to the second week. If we need to do the cleanup, we'll pull from the $100 and make them reimburse that. They need to complete a permit reservation application permit or application for each of the movie nights, and I believe she has those. As I mentioned, nothing above PG, as determined by the Motion Picture Association of America. They must pay all the license fees that are required to the appropriate licensing agency to be able to provide, be able to show those movies. The on-site barbecues that are adjacent to the facility and to the area that they will be utilizing may not be used for the event. So there will be no barbecuing taking place on site at that time. First aid kits must be available. And that at the end of the evening, when it's dark and after the movie's over, is that the event coordinators need to provide escorts with flashlights to assist the moviegoers so they can exit the ground safely. All park rules and regulations must be enforced, and trash can receptacles shall be provided by Delta Sun-Times, I believe, through Discovery Bay Disposal. And they will be picking up within 72 hours, since they're on a Friday night. Within 72 hours of the conclusion of the event. So if you have any questions, both Baron is here and I can answer any questions, and the promoter of the event is here before you as well, Amanda, and we're here to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions, Kevin?
A couple of things. First of all, and I've spoken to Amanda about this, we just adopted a fee schedule that for a 6-hour period for that, for an area not quite that large, it's defined as the barbecue area, it's $50 for an organization, $50 per event for an organization. And and I want to apologize to staff for this, because there was a miscommunication when we discussed this earlier. So the report he put out was what It's just a misunderstanding, that's all. But my concern is this, is that we're going to have some paid staff there. You have to be able to open the place up, lock the place up. It's really going after what typically would be our hours of operation, obviously, because it has to be in the dark. And so it seems to me that it would be fair, rather than to try to have accounting spend time trying to come up with what the costs were per event, I would propose that we just have a flat $100 per event fee to the promoter to cover our costs of whatever, because we're going to bring in some staff that has worked in the community center building before, so they're familiar with lockup and close up and that type of thing. Am I correct, staff?
Correct.
Okay. So I would propose that there'd be a $100 per event fee that would be paid back to the community center. And not to pick on Amanda, because I think it's great that we're finding alternative uses for the community center, and I want to promote that. I want you to know from my heart, I think it's a great thing. We want the community to be engaged in that property. But also we want to make sure that nobody just says, well, you let somebody do it for almost nothing, because it only works out to about 12 bucks a night if you do it the other way. So I would propose that the modification to that proposal be that there be a $100 per night event fee paid for by the organizer as part of the contract that we have with them. And I would also propose that we waive the 5-day requirement on the first event, because it's only 3 days away. And so in our contract, we have a policy that says that we're going to get a 5-day permission ahead of time. I would propose that also part of the contract that we have, waive that 5-day for the first event. That's all I have.
Chris?
So the town is not a sponsor. Is the town a sponsor of this event? I'm just trying to put it right. There's an old logo of ours on this. Are we a town sponsor for this event?
I had
a
non-financial sponsor. I had asked Amanda, since they are utilizing the community center, and that when they do their on-site advertising, on-screen advertising, that they'd be able to put our
town logo on our website
on it. Website, yes.
Okay, that'd be great.
That'd be great.
And Amanda, can we get you the updated logo instead of the older one?
I have it, and it's all produced and everything.
Okay,
this is a commercial community center, all dialed in for
them. I just saw the old one.
And
on there.
Is the pool going to be open?
2 days later, right? On the 22nd?
No.
Oh, no, during the event now.
No, the pool will not be open.
Not a good idea.
Right.
It's
going to
be dark.
Safety first.
Right.
But there will be no cross pollinization or contamination.
Nope. Well, along that same line, how many of the town staff will be assigned to the event? Or do we? I mean, we have to guesstimate at this moment.
Well, we will have one employee per event on staff.
Just speaking on just that one item that was mentioned, the pool. It's dark. We've got youngsters there. One of them wanders away, climbs over our fence, and hops in the pool. So do we have somebody?
We have 6 event staff on our end
I was going there.
Flashlights to make sure that people know where bathrooms are and exits are, and for security.
All right, so you'll
the other thing I mentioned, sorry to interrupt, the new fence that's going up around the pool, is the code requires that it doesn't have any footholds and doesn't have requirements. So that's going to be a good safety issue am I correct? So, if part of the new fence that's going in, it's not going to be a chain link fence. The requirement around a pool is different now, and we're going to be abiding by that, and that will help. But it's a good, I agree, it's going to be dark, you can't keep your eyes on everything, but I would think, and it's, you know, that's what it's designed for, is to keep people of the regulation height and all that stuff.
Yeah, and that's fine, and I appreciate that, but that's where I was going. So it's my understanding that I think we need to think about, or you to think about it, you'd have one person stationed inside that fence.
It's a really good spot. It's actually halfway to the bathroom, if you can pick the area in the bathroom.
Inside, so they could see if anybody
absolutely
tried to get in or
we
whatever.
We could string a light through there and stuff, too, so people know.
Well, the pool area will be lit. I mean, the pool will be lit as well as the area around it.
And point of clarification, it is a chain link fence. It is a much smaller grid that is for swimming pools, so that they cannot get a foothold. I believe it's a 1-inch grid.
What's the height?
5 feet, all 6 right. inches.
So the teenagers can get over it, but the little kids that we're worried about can't.
Right.
Yeah, the nefarious. But that's what we'll have to watch.
I'm most concerned about the sound of music night, because it's going to be all those women climbing that fence.
Mary, did you make a comment?
I do have a comment. One of the, I'm not going to call it a problem, but one of the things at the Brentwood concerts is liquor. And people do bring it in, but they have to bring it in something that isn't a liquor container. So they can pour it in a, put your margaritas in a. So are you going to have any, is there going to be any monitoring?
Publicly, we've said that regular park rules apply, and regular park rules in Discovery Bay are the liquor.
Okay.
Now, I there's no way we can possibly monitor everyone's colored cup and things like that, but certainly we would confiscate or ask them to take it out to their car if we saw something blatant like that. It's a family event.
And, right, and I know that that's a concern that they
right.
have.
Right, I don't want to interrupt my 6-year-old. You know, so that would be my desire is to, you know, if you're going to, you know, bring that in with you, don't show me. Don't let me see it.
Yeah, the board does have the authority to amend the list of conditions, and if the board did want to, even though it is included in the generic term, all park rules, you can certainly be more specific and call that out if you like.
Rick, the employee who's going to be there on Friday night, I'm assuming this is an employee that's working full shift already, working at home on overtime?
No, actually, the first employee that's going to work it is one of our managers, Farron, so she will be there. After the first night, we will have one of the employees that we've used at the community center that was operating the business during the day, operating the facility, who's familiar with the facility, and they'll be called in specifically for that event. So it will not be a regular staff member. It'll be, at that lower wage rate versus a fully burdened member of the town staff. We have a classification called part-time seasonal temporaries, and that's who this group would fall in.
I'm in agreement with Vice President Graves. If we're going to have functions, I'm all for them. If we're going to have functions, I hope we have one every weekend. The more the merrier. But you've got to forecast these where we come out of here without going backwards. And if there's an expense to the town of Discovery Bay, I think we owe it to the people who elected us to at least break them even on a night that we're bringing a function in. And $100 for 8 weeks is not going to break us even. I'm not sure exactly what our real cost is, but I also agree if we have a price set for certain park uses, you can't lower them for this one, because if you lower it for this one, you have to lower it for everybody. I mean, if next month I come in and I want to have a party in there, I don't want to pay any more than they're paying now. And I think that $100 a night for the use of the park is very reasonable. So I have to agree with Dr. Graves.
The theory there is that it would cover the cost plus the labor to staff the event.
I'm sure I can build that.
It would cover the costs plus the labor to staff the event.
I'm just commenting that we'd want to start talking about doing that with the Lions Clubs and Easter, and charging all these people who are coordinating and providing these great community events for us to use our parks. We're not doing that now. When they come in and they staff it, they clean up and they take care of it, we haven't historically been charging the Lions Clubs, the ones who go in and provide these community events for us. So I just need direction if that's the way we're going to go.
There's no promotion involved in those events, though. The promoters of this event are raising funds from, they're getting fees from the vendors, and they're getting fees, and they're trying their best to raise the money to pay for it through advertising, and they've been somewhat successful at that. The Easter egg hunt, it's just volunteers that go out there and use the park and do the Easter egg hunt. There's no profit, there's no generation of revenue in that, so it's a different situation.
Can I get a point of clarification? The legal counsel just asked me a question that I just wanted to make sure that we are all on the same page. Is the motion to, I'm sorry, was there a motion?
It
was a recommendation.
Yes.
That the fee charge for the facility would be $100 per event, and that would include our out-of-pocket expenses.
That would be my recommendation, that we eliminate that paragraph that says reimburse expenses, because then we don't have to try to go through an accounting procedure to figure out what they are, and then biller form we just say $100 flat fee, and we know that at the 8 plus the burden, $12, $13, $14 an hour, whatever that is, it'll cover that fee. That's what my recommendation would be. That's my intent anyway, I guess I should say.
3 hours. That was 7 o'clock to 10:30, which is 3.5 hours each time. I'm comfortable with that.
Okay.
Let's try it.
All right. Do we have any public comment?
We'll find a sponsor there. Somebody will help us out. Somebody out there.
Any public comment? Any comment from the board?
No, I think it's a great idea. I think hopefully the community will embrace it. I too am concerned because that's our job up here is to watch the funding. And as these things, I would hope that it would grow. And maybe at some point we have to put a limit on how many people can attend, whatever. But
that'd be a wonderful problem to have.
It would be a problem that we would enjoy. But I'm comfortable with the, as you just mentioned, at $100 per event. We'd have to monitor that, and if for whatever reasons our costs are going over that, unfortunately, I would have to recommend we come back to you and discuss that again. Thank you.
Can I get a motion?
I would move that we accept staff's recommendation with the caveat that the organizer pay $100 per event for the use of the facility, and that $100 cover out-of-pocket expenses.
Second.
And to waive the 5 days.
And to waive the 5 days on the first event.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, guys.
Good job.
Thanks, man. Congratulations, Marianne.
Thank you.
Good to stop saying guys.
Yes.
Okay. New business item 3. Rick?
The item before you this evening, Mr. President, members of the board, is the annual intention to levy and collect an annual assessment for the Ravenswood Improvement District, DB Lighting and Landscape Zone Number 9, and do for fiscal 13-14, accept the engineer's report and adopt resolution 2013-12. Essentially, this is very similar to what has been done year after year. It's not much different. If the board has any specific questions relative to this, Farron is available to address any questions you may have. This is only the first part of the process. It will be coming back before you on August the 7th for the public hearing for formal adoption and implementation. So you will be seeing this again, as I indicated, on August the 7th.
What do you need from us tonight?
Just to approve the recommended action.
Any discussion from the board? Bill?
I just have a clarifying question on the fee itself. It says it would assessment to be set at $563.93, and we could go to $586, but since we have a current reserve, we don't anticipate any unplanned expenses, the assessment was reduced. Was it reduced from the $586 that it could go to, or was it reduced from the previous year?
So the fee last year was $555.76. The $586, that number that you're seeing in there, is the maximum allowable assessment. So we haven't been charging them the maximum allowable amount, but we are increasing from last year's assessment. The discussion with engineer was that we would cover our operations cost and not dive into the reserves to cover that. So that was the increase, an $8.17 increase from last year.
Right, and I appreciate that clarity. In the future for these kinds of things, for me anyway, it'd be easier if you did that exactly. Last year's fee was so and such, we can go to here, we're only going to go to there, something like that. Just a little easier for myself, but probably the public that reads this too. Thank you.
Any questions? Mary Ann?
No.
Kevin?
Did you go?
Chris?
No.
Public comment? Okay, if I can get a motion.
Move staff recommendation.
Second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Let's move on to Veolia.
You should have before you a, we're going to shake it up a little bit for you this evening. You should have before you a copy of the PowerPoint. Furman's going to give you that PowerPoint this evening instead of the going through the screen the way we've done it.
Do we have another one from Marianne?
What is hypo delivered 5,000? What does that mean? What's that relate?
That's a chemical that's used to disinfect the water.
Okay.
5,000 gallons.
Mixed with the 144 million gallons.
That was delivered for the month of June, and that's what's used to disinfect the water. All of it may not have been used during the month because we still have some bulk storage chemical left.
This is what you purchased. That's not the amount that's going into the water stream
right,
itself.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's what was purchased during the month.
All right.
It was delivered during June. Under the water production by month, I found an error in the month of April. So if you go back and you look at the PDF from April on, there was some errors there in the amount of water that was produced. So I revised the table so that it's reflective of what we actually produce. So you can see we you know, as the demand comes up, I mean, we're producing more and more water. And as we go towards fall, it's going to go less and less as demand goes down. Kind of like a curve up and down. So anyway, I just want to mention that there was a mistake, and I did correct it, and it's accurate now. Bacteriological results for water. We performed 16 BACTs tests, and they are all negative. Wastewater service. This is the laboratory analysis for month of May. It's on the left column, and the month of June is on the right. And I'm having a hard time really seeing that. It's pretty close. one was pretty close, 38.55 MGD. The daily average flow was
285.
The effluent BOD in pounds, monthly average 27 pounds. The total suspended solids monthly average is 50. The BOD milligrams per liter monthly average is 3. The total suspended solids milligrams per liter monthly average is 5. The total coliform 7-day median max is 16. The daily maximum total coliform is 30. Even though our MPN is 23, whenever you do the 7-day median, you include the test within 7 days and combine them. You know, I've talked about that before, right?
Why did you go up such down between May and June? Is that because of the thing of the clarifiers or what?
On the median or the maximum?
Both. If you look at the total coliform 7-day median, it was 2 in May and it's 16 in June. Although that is well within our permit limits, it seems odd that it went up 800%.
We did have some extra turbidity that we found in the facility, and when that one test came up as a 30, we took the channel down and we cleaned it, and it went back down. So it's been less than 2 ever since. And then we're changing channels every 2 months.
Right.
That's basically our protocol. Every 2 months we change out. But if we do see a disturbance like this, we'll stop right there that day and we'll take it down.
Right.
All the switch over for some reason if we have to test the main disturbance or that. The percent removal efficiency for BOD for a month average was 98.6, I think it is. And then the total suspended solids efficiency was 94.56. And then the EC, electrical conductivity, the year to date is 2132.
So freaking God. Once we were like at 2189, or 2089 or something, we went under 2100 like once.
Okay. Still under wastewater services for the NPDS, we had a 0 NPDS rated excursions. The bacteriological results, we had 9 samples, is that right? 8 samples?
Eight samples
that were collected. And they're all negative, so that's good. Our number of active visitation, 15. Chemical uses for the polymer for the belt for the press was 80 gallons, and then SSO did 0. And the amount of wastewater received in the facility was approximately 40.84 million gallons per month. Wastewater service for collections, we flushed approximately 2,439 feet of sanitary sewage that was filled with all hot spots. So we put 0 feet year to date and 0 completed only because we're dealing with the hot spots. We're not counting the hot spots towards the 25% that we're supposed to be doing. But just to demonstrate due diligence that we did do some flushing on
that. What defines a hot spot for you?
It's an area where there's more prone to have buildup, you know, to cause
stoppages.
Yes.
Let it be rags or whatever.
Near restaurants, you know,
okay.
Businesses and stuff like that.
Grease, whatever happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
CCTV 0. Expected 8 manhole uncovers year to date, 8. Performed weekly lift station inspections. Vacuum out lift station G, valve fault, and S wet well. Lift station S wet well. Just a level controller on lift station R. Lake pump number 2 experienced over voltage faults. Replaced pressure washer 1 on Aquatech back truck that had failed the month before. Any question or collection? Wastewater maintenance. Last month we experienced some plant problems with plant number 1 and lift station level controller. We replaced 2 amp breakers. Which repaired the problem. And I think I mentioned it, but I didn't go into detail about it. That was the first week that I had to go on call, and every day I came out like midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, every morning, and it was because of that breaker right there. But we
We didn't know exactly what it was. We troubleshooted. We determined that those two breakers were the problem, and that was it. Once we did the two breakers, we were good to go. So I said good after that. We're supposed to replace the motor on plant one magnet rotor brush from the four. Perform a CMMS internal criticality review update. Replace mechanical seal on RAS return activated sludge pump number two at plant number two. Replace the belts on plant one odor blowers. Perform preventive maintenance. Pressure wash the clarifiers each week for algae. Any questions? Maintenance in water. Newport water treatment valve B4 cylinder failed and was repaired. Newport water treatment plant air compressor blow-off timer was adjusted. Repair a hydrochloride injection leak at Newport water treatment plant. Adjusted well set points to turn on well sooner and run longer during the high demand months. Performed preventive maintenance.
Question, how's the automation coming along for the plant? Doing any automation upgrades this year?
That's all part of the bigger capital project.
Okay.
And as each project comes forward, they have their own automation as part of it.
Right.
And then as a parallel project, when those projects are all complete, we have a project to come in and then bring what we did bring up to date. It's like any computer that just needs to be replaced.
Is this breaker problem, was this monitored through automation?
No.
Annual observance?
We don't have any alarm for that.
Okay.
But what we do, like whenever we're on call, like if you get up, you go to the rest, you look at the SCADA system, you look at the plant, we know what we need to look at. We know the indicators. You know, if you have an idea of where your parameter should be, and it's outside that parameter, tells you something's wrong, so we come in and then we respond to that. And then we do get alarms, and you have to judge sometimes what the alarm is. A lot of times you'll get a call and they'll say you got such and such alarm, and then right after it says such alarm clear. So, you know, it's intermittent. Preventive and corrective maintenance, we had a total of 207 work orders completed, a total of 171 hours. Work order backlog. And the aging 8 to 30 days, 65 work orders. Aging greater than 30 days is 18.
Furman, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Last month, the aging 30-day work orders, where were we at last month?
Didn't have it. It's a new thing.
What's your goal?
Wait, that's my next question.
Well, my goal would be zero, but...
There you go.
How are you going to attain that goal, I guess, is the question we're asking. Are you going to be able to get these down where we've got everything under 30 days?
I'm
going to
try. I'm not guaranteed, but
I'll
try.
We'll take that as a guarantee.
There are some of these that can't happen in 30 days just by sheer nature of supplies that need to be ordered and equipment that might need to be purchased. And some of it's technical in nature. And so there are situations like that. This list was 2 years ago, as
I was gonna comment.
Graves knows, was in the hundreds. I want to say it was in the 400.
Yeah, it was about 300 to 400, and it was not going down.
It is.
Oh no, we're not complaining.
Way more
yeah,
control.
Right, no, I get that.
Well, if nothing else, for at least Director Wiesen and Director Pieces the information so that they have a barometer or something to compare it against.
And to be fair, Gerald tackled this when Gerald was here. It's been an ongoing process over the 2 years, and I just want to say Veolia as a team has done a great job of doing this. Furman, we appreciate your...
Bravo. Thank you. And Mark, just to help enlighten, sometimes we get some work orders that are 15 days out, 30 days out.
Yeah.
So you have a period of time there in order to complete it, and some of those would fall into this category.
Sure.
Right.
Probably back order our parts and that type of thing.
Yeah, we put it in there. We'll say, hey, look, this is a little bit more complicated, and I want to get a 30-day notice on it. Mm-hmm. It might be a semi-annual work order. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you put it. We want to generate a notification 30 days ahead of time.
Okay.
I don't want to wait 7 days or 5 days for it to do.
Perfect.
Call emergency responses. 10 call-outs, 0 emergencies. Personnel hours and overtime. We had 1,267 regular hours and 77.75 hours of overtime. and terms.
Any questions? Board? Bill?
No.
Mary Ann? Kevin?
I think we kind of nailed it as we went, yeah.
Chris?
Satisfied, thank you.
I like the PowerPoint.
Herman, thank you very much.
I'm going to keep the PowerPoint down.
All righty, let's move on to managers' reports. Rick?
I have four items for you. One, you know I am on vacation beginning tomorrow morning. And Director Wiesen, we will be in touch with you the next day to get your orientation materials and to get you set up with some tours and site visits and get to meet staff. So we'll go ahead and do that. Tomorrow afternoon, the lifeguards are going through their training at the pool. So that'll be taking place tomorrow. Dr. Pierce, chiropractor, he is actually a certified trainer, and he's doing it for us, which was really, really great of him to do so. Pickleball court is under construction, should be completed next week. And if I could read my notes, I can't. So that's it.
He's always going on vacation. Legal? You have a legal report?
Nothing to report.
Thank you so much. Any committee updates? Community center status report? No written report?
We have a meeting just for the. There's a meeting on the 29th, and we will, prior to that, address the issue of having three board members now in that committee. So we'll have to address that. I'll discuss that with you.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment for a future agenda item. I know we can't speak about it this evening. But
we haven't got to it yet.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second. We'll be there in a second. I got one more ahead of it. Two more. Correspondence, we've passed. Public record request, none. Future agenda items. Bill?
It has to do with the community center. And I would like to have the board discuss the possibility of having work sessions so that all five of us can participate in the ongoing discussions, being the fact that we're moving forward. I think we may be able to move forward a little quicker that way. I think it will help in communications and understandings of the issues that go on behind the scenes. So I'd like to have that at a future agenda item to discuss.
That's the agenda. Do you have anything from you?
Nope.
Mary Ann? Chris?
No, thank you.
We are adjourned.